Okay, we start at the top of Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. B'minei Rami Barchama Merav Chisda. Nitaz ala beged tamei mahu. If the blood from the chatat squirted onto a beged, but this beged was a beged tamei, what's the din? So Amar of Huna Breda Rav Yoshua, midika mabayle hochi. The fact that he's actually asking the question in this manner, shmamino, from this I can conclude that haita lashat hakosher v'nifsalo ein damataon kibus. If it had a shat hakosher and then became pasul, the dam doesn't require kibus. But that's only true hani mile b'zechazeh. That's only when it happened in a sequential manner. Aval bevat achat lo. But if it happened simultaneously, no. Odim alo shna, or maybe it makes no difference. So what Rav Huna Breda Rav Yoshua is suggesting over here is the nature of Rami Bar Chama's question leads the one to believe this. He's asking about a question when the blood reaches the beged and the beged's tamei. So what happens? The blood simultaneous with touching the beged, which would require the beged to have kibus, becomes tamei and pasul. So at the same moment the blood would require the beged to have kibus, it also becomes pasul. And we know that blood that is pasul does not require kibus. According to our Mishnah, the position of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, which is that no matter what, it never requires kibus. We had Rabbi Kiva's position at the end of yesterday's daf that it's only when it didn't have shata kosher. But if it has shata kosher, then it would require kibus. And that's exactly what Rav Huna Breda Rav Yoshua is saying about this question of Rami Bar Chama. The fact that he phrased it or placed the question in this manner, which is that it happened simultaneous, that means that he believes that if it had happened b'zeh chazeh, if it had happened in a sequential manner, then it's clear that there's nothing to talk about here. Had the blood been nifsal, and then only afterwards fell onto the beged, there would be no kibus. On the other hand, his question is, what happens b'vat achat? Fine, b'zeh chazeh doesn't work, but b'vat achat, what's the story? And that's the question that he's asking. So Amalei, he responded to him, Plukto d'rabalozer v'rabonon aliba d'rabo, ukimitari tzabaye. It's the machlokes between Rabalozer and Rabbanon, according to the sheet of Rabo, the way that Abaye explains it. And we're going to see in a second that Rabo explains their machloket one way, and Abaye disagrees with Rabo and says, no, that's not their machloket is this. So why does it call it Aliba de Rabo, or the way that Abaye answers? And that Rashi points out, Rashi says that Abaye and Rava were Talmidim of Rabo. So Abaye is a Talmid of Rabo. So over here, where Rabo makes a suggestion, and then Abaye says, you can't say that, you must say this, it's not that Abaye is giving a different opinion, he's interpreting, or he's modifying, qualifying his Rebbe's statement. So that's why the Gemara calls it that it's a statement of Rabo, umetaritz Abaye, that Abaye explained the statement of his Rebbe. So what is that? Titania. Rabbi Elazar Omer, mechatat shinit me'u. Mechatat are the waters of the paraduma, I mean the waters with the ashes sprinkled in them that they used to mitare the mate. If they become tamei, mitarin, they still work. Sheharei nida mazin aleha. Because we know that a nida can have be sprinkled on. So this is a cryptic statement in one sense, so let's understand it. And then from there we'll take our next step forward to understand why this is the machloket or explain the machloket we just had. Number one, a nida. A nida is tmeya because she's a nida. In addition to that, she also became tmeya meit. She also had tumata meit. Now she wants to become tahor. She wants to become tahor. How does she go about the process? She goes like anybody else who's tamei meit. The third day, the seventh day, she gets sprinkled on by the para aduma, by the ashes, the waters of the with the mei mayan with the ashes of the para aduma in them. She gets sprinkled on them. On her seventh day, what does she have to do? She has to go to the mikveh. On the seventh day, she goes to the mikveh, and then when the sun sets on the seventh day, she will be tahor, tahorah. So now, what about her tzad nida, shiba? She also has a nida. So as Rashi points out here, we never see that there's a requirement that she become Torah from her nida before she becomes Torah from her Tumat Hameit. So what will she do? Simultaneous with her Tara Me'ameit, she will also become Torah from her Tumat Nida. Because she'll go to the mikveh on the seventh day. And just like a nida requires mikveh on the seventh day. And then when sun sets on the seventh day, she'll become Torah simultaneously from her Tumat Hameit and her Tumat Nida. Well, if that is the case, that means on the third day and the seventh day when we sprinkle on her the waters of the Parah Duma, she is Tmeya. Well, if she's Tmeya, that means when the waters come into contact with her, they become tameh. Because the water that's being sprinkled on her now touches the nida is tameh, and they become tameh. The waters of tameh, do they work? Are they efficacious? And the answer here is, yes, they do work. So that's the proof here. The proof is that if the mei tara, that means the mei para duma, if they work on a nida, even when they become tameh, they still work on the nida, then it means that even when they themselves are tameh, they can work and they can be mitaher. If they do become tameh, they can still be used and they can still be mitaher. His proof is from the nida. Va'amar Rabba. The Rabba says about this position Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar b'shitat Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amra. He holds like his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva. Damar havarat kli agave makom tameh kumunach dami. That the movement of a kli over a location, meaning if you carry a kli across a location, it's as if you placed it down on that location. It's not. We have a Mishnah. Hayomeid chutz l'tanur. He was standing outside of the tanur. Bisheretz v'tanur. Obviously, we're talking about a tanur of cheres, a clay earthenware tanur. It's open at the top. Inside of it is a sheretz. And there's a sheretz v'tochol. The tanur is tameh. Then he has v'hushiti adol echalon. The mechatat are sitting on a windowsill. V'natala delagin, and he takes the pitcher or the utensil in which they are kept. Ve'viro apia tanur, and he pulls it back over the mouth of the tanur. Now, for a kli charis v'mitamei, it's only mitamei inside bitocho. So now he pulled it across the top, the mouth of the tanur. There is no problem; it should not be tamei. Nevertheless, we have an opinion here. Rabbi Kiva mitamei ve'chachamim mitarin. Kiva says that mei chatat is problematic; it's tamei. And chamimim, it's mitahor. But this is what we suggest. This is the machlokas between them. Rabbi Akiva savar ki munach dami. Rabbi Akiva classifies it when he moves it across the tanur, it's as if he placed it down. There is a shita, if you remember, it's Gemara and Baba Kama, we have it in other places. Machlokas about whether, and Shabbos as well, kluto kemusha unchadami. That when something is in motion, do we classify it as being discrete movements? Meaning that when something's in motion, it's as if it was placed down in each location, then picked up and moved, placed down, picked up and moved on an infinite basis. Or do we say, Pluto is lat kumunchach dami, meaning that we see that as a continuum. When you throw something as in motion, it's a continuum that only leaves the location that it was thrown from and where it settles down. So machlokas in the Gemara and Shabbos, in the Gemara and Baba Kama, about whether Pluto is kumunchach dami. This is a similar concept here. That Rabbi Akiva is suggesting that when you move something across, it's as if kimunach dami. It's as if it's placed down while you're moving it across. And the Rabbanan say, no, lav kimunach dami. So what we're suggesting over here is that Rabbi Elazar is in the sheet of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that when you place something down, it's kimunach dami. It's as if it landed there or it was placed down there. So that is true also over here. The mayim, that once it reached the airspace of the nida, and the haza'a only takes effect when it touches the body of the individual. Yet, when the haza'ot reach the nida, before even they touch her, then it'll become tameh. Because, as Rabbi Akiva suggests over here, the tumah can be effective on an object that's in motion, even when it's above. I mean, for instance here, the object above the tanur you're moving across, while it's in motion, it's considered to be placed down inside the tanur. So too here, the hazaya, when it's on its way to the nida, is in motion, it's going to cross over, come into the airspace of the nida. That hazaya will come to meyah before it ever touches the nida. And that's why Rabbi Elazar says over here that shari nida mazina leha. What's the problem, or the underlying assumption in Rabbi's position right now, is that because it becomes to meyah before it touches the nida, therefore you see that it works with the nida. It works with the nida, it's because it became to meyah prior to reaching the nida herself. So too, when the mei chatat are tmeim, they will also work to be mitaher, even though they became tmei before they were in use. The eighth ve'abaye, Abaye asked the question on this explanation of the breito according to Rabba. Moda Rabbi Kiva b'hazah she'vira kli cheres. The Rabbi Kiva agrees that if you moved over kli cheres tmei al gabe mishkava moshav tmei shehi Torah. He agrees that if the sprinkling, not the kli, the first case of the breito that we brought before the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the chachamim is in a case where the kli, the lagin, the kli that is holding the mei chatat in it, moves across the mouth of the tenor. On the other hand here, if you sprinkled the mechatat, and then they crossed over Ayekli Cheres, or they crossed over someone who was mitameh mishkav moshav, mitameh shehi teora, that hazaya is tahor, she'en lecha davar shemitameh lemalo kelamata, ela kezayit min amet, v'shar kol ha'mahaylin. That the only time that there is something that's mitameh outside of its physical surroundings, meaning either by touching it, lifting it, or like in a kli cheres, is something that has tumat ohel. Tumat ohel only applies to tumat ha'mate, and he says everything else that is mahiyo, what's the other object that's mahiyo? Gemara says, latuye even hamnugat. It has to do with tzarat. Tzarat has also the effectiveness of being like tumat ha'mate, and therefore is mitame ba'ohel. So an even mnugat, a stone that has negaim on it, that stone is mitame ba'ohel. So the only objects when you pass over them that they will give off tumah and cause the object that passes over them to take tumah is something tumat ha'mate and even mnugat. And over here we're talking about it's tumat klicheres and tumat mishkav moshav, which either a zav, zava, nida, that have tumat mishkav. The hazaya, when it crosses over these individuals, over this tumah, it's not tameh. So what Abaye is challenging Rabba? Rabba just said, I think Rabbi Lazar is v'shita Rabbi Akiva Rappo, because he says over here, I can prove to you that the tumat harmayim, the mechatat, if it becomes tameh, is still effective, because when you sprinkle the nidah, it still works. Well, why does it work? So Rabba claimed that he's v'shita Rabbi Akiva, and therefore before it hits the nidah, before it's effective, the hazayah, before it's effective, it becomes tameh because it goes into our airspace. Just like Rabbi Akiva says, when it goes into the airspace over the tanur, it becomes tameh. So too you said over here. Rabbi says you can't say that. Because even Rabbi Akiva, who says when you move the mechatat over the tanur, it's tameh, he only says that when it's in a kli. But when you're doing the actual sprinklings, he says it doesn't become tameh. So he says it can't be. So what is the difference between them? The difference between them is because, and the Ragmar is about to say this, is that when you're in a kli cheres, and someone's carrying a kli cheres, they can put it down at any moment. While they're moving it, they have the option of putting it down. And that's what we're afraid of. On the other hand, hazaya, once it leaves your hand, it's only going where you sprinkled it. If it crosses over tumah on the way, it doesn't matter because you can't stop it and then put it down in the middle. It's already in its trajectory. That trajectory is going to land it on the individual, irrespective of what tumah crosses over. And that's what he explains here. Elam Avai. Kulei Ama Lav Kimun Achdomi. Everybody agrees that when you move something, it's not like it were placed down. V'holcho b'hakam iflegei. This is their machloket. The Rebbe Kiva Savar Gazrin and Shema Yanua. We're afraid that he might put it down. When he moves the kli cheres over the oven, we're afraid that he might put it down along the way. So in order to prevent it from doing that, we say, if you pass over this, it's going to become tameh, don't do it. Rabbanan zavrei lo gazrinan. And Rabbanan say, we don't make such a gzeirah. Umol de Rabbi Kiva azah. When it comes to azah, the sprinkling, kevin de nafak nafak. Once it's left his hand, it's done. The action's done. You can't make a gzeirah shema yaniach. You can't make a gzeirah, maybe he'll put it down because there's nothing to put down anymore. It's left his hand. It's going to go in its trajectory no matter what he does at this point in time. Therefore, there's no gzeirah of Rabbi Kiva in that case where it crosses over tumah. So only when you're moving something actively over a tumah, do we worry about you placing it down? Where you've let it go, and now it's on its own going to cross over the tumah, there we don't worry about it. So now, the Gemara asks, okay, you explained to us the machlokas Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim in that braita, but Rabbi Lazar Rabbanan, like him if legay. What about the machlokas Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan, meaning Rabbi Lazar, who says here that mechatat becomes tameh is still effective, because the Rabbanan say it's not effective? What are you going to explain that machlokas? Rabba at least had an option or tried to explain it, but how are you going to explain it? So I'm Rabbi, bedonin bitum'ah kedum'ah mitum'ah shvotoshaka miflegay. They are arguing about whether you can learn from Bezecher Zeh, you can learn from Bevat Achat. Mar Savar Donim, Umar Savar Ein Donim. One says yes, one says no. So what does this mean? That the machlokas here is whether I can, you learned something about Bevat Achat. What's Bevat Achat? When you're sprinkling the Nida, you sprinkle the Nida, it works. Why does it work? Because Azaya lands on the Nida. At the moment it lands on the Nida, it's effective. The Azaya is done. But it also comes Tameh exactly at that moment. The moment it touches the Nida, that's when it becomes Tameh. But at that same moment, it completes the Azaya. So that's Bevat Achat. That happens simultaneously. So the question is, when I learn something about that works simultaneously, then I apply it to something that happens sequentially. So in that instance, the Tum'ah and the Azaya are completed at the same moment. What happens if the Mei Tara, or the Mei Chata, become tameh beforehand, and now you sprinkle them. Can you sprinkle them on there? Rabbi Lazar says yes. Why? Because when I learn from Bevat Achat, I'll extend to Bezecher Zeh, and it works there. The Chamim say no. That if it's Bevat Achat, it's different than Bezecher Zeh. Bevat Achat, something can work, and we say fine because the moment it became tamei, it also was effective. So you don't differentiate. But where beforehand already became tamei, there it's not going to be effective, the azaya. You're not going to be allowed to do it. And that is their machloket. Rava Amar, so now you have the other Talmid of Rava coming along and saying, Rava says, instead of I says, no, the kuli amo ain't danin. Everybody agrees you can't learn bezechazeh from vavat achat. This is their machlokas. The Rav Elazar Sover Hazah Tzricha Shiur Umitztarfim Lazot. He believes that Hazah requires a Shiur, that there's a minimum Shiur for the Hazayah to be effective, number one. And number two is, when you do multiple Hazayot together, you will add them up to the point where they become the Shiur that you need. Whereas Rabbanan Tzavrei Hazayin Tzricha Shiur. Rabbanan believe that Hazayah does not require a Shiur at all. So now, in this case, we have, according to the Rabbanan, the case of Nidah, the reason it works is because it's bevat achad, simultaneous with the moment the hazayah touches her, that's when it's effective, and that's when it became tamei. So over there we say that works because it was simultaneous. To extrapolate that to bezeh hazayah, we won't allow you to do. But Rabbi Elazar says, no, I need shiur. That means that even when the first drop landed on the nida, we weren't finished with the hazayah. I still need the second drop or whatever other parts of the hazayah to come in order to complete it. So if I had a chatzi shur of hazayah hit the nida, and then another chatzi shur her afterwards, the first drop that hit her was not complete. The hazayah was not complete. It wasn't bevat achad now, because the chatzi shur is already tamei. And the second chatzi shur that comes to be mitzarif to that, that's what completes the hazayah. Well, when it comes to complete the hazayah, it's already the first half was tamei already. Or tamei already. So if that's the case, I can prove from nida that when the mei chatat become tameim, that I can use them, they're still effective. Because you can see here, when I do it on a nida, it's still effective. Even though, when it touches her, it becomes tamei, and the hazayah is only completed afterwards. So they both agree, you can't learn from simultaneous to sequential, but what's the case of nida? That's the question. The Chachamim say the case of Nidah is a Bevat Achad case, because they don't require Shiur, or minimum Shiur, whereas Rabbi Elazar believes that the case of Nidah is also a sequential case. Because he requires a minimum Shiur, it's also a sequential case, and from that I can prove to you that Mei Chatat Retmeim can still be Mitaher. Alright, now, the next thing, Chatat Psula, which is the completion of our Mishnah, that Chatat Psula does not cause a beggar to need Kibbutz. Tanu Rabbanan, Midama, Midam Kshera, Vilo Midam Psula. That's the limut. The limut is that it comes midama, from the blood, but midam kshera, only dam kasher. Midam is a miut, meh. Right? So only some damim will work. What does that mean? The damim that are ksherim will cause the problem of kibus, or the necessity for kibus, whereas damim that come from a psula will not require kibus. Rabbi Kiva, what is it Rabbi Kiva argues? Remember, Rabbi Shimon's the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva differentiates between shat da kosher and shat da kosher and in la shat da kosher. So where does Rabbi Kiva's limut? If it at any moment it was a kosher karban and then only afterwards became pasul, then it still requires laundering. If it didn't have that, then it doesn't require kibus. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon, the author of our Mishnah, says, so my time at the Rabbi Shimon. So what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position? We have two mutim. We have the word ota and we have the word midama. You have two miutim here. So one teaches you midama, teaches you probably the lesser of the two chidushim. Midama means from its dam and not on something that's psula. There will be psula that lo ayta la shato kosher. And then ota comes to be mayit, the case where it did have a shata kosher. So that's Rabbi Shimon's limud. So Rabbi Akiva, ota, prat la truma. Rabbi Akiva says, no. I need the word ota to exclude truma. Rabbi Shimon l'tamei, damar kochim kalim, ain't to unim mikra b'shtifa kochushkein truma. So over here, the word ota could be excluding something else. Now, as far as kibus is concerned, as far as laundry is concerned, that only applies to a chatat. We saw yesterday's daf, which chataot it exactly applies to. It only applies to chatot achitzonot, to pnimiot, to chatat of. That was the discussion in yesterday's daf. But that only applies to a chatat. On the other hand, there were two other dinim, which I mentioned before, in the parsha. It's klicheres, ashet tuvashal bo yishaver. That it's cooked in a clay nechosh, it has to be rinsed and cleaned out. Whatever marika and shtifar, we've discussed this in the past in Avodah Zarah and other places, whether it means rinsing and cleaning, or does it mean inside, outside, marika and shtifar, but it has to be cleaned out. That doesn't just apply to chataot. it also applies to other karbanot. Well, Rabbi Akiva applies that necessity for merika and shtifa to kochin kalim. He has to come and exclude truma from that. And that's what he uses the word otah for. Rabbi Shimon, who never includes kochin kalim, doesn't need a miut for truma. He would never have a miut to include truma. He didn't include kochin kalim. Why would he include truma, which is of lesser kedusha? So therefore, he has the extra word otah as a miut in order to exclude other psulim over here. Whereas Rabbi Akiva uses the word otah to exclude truma, he only has one miut. If he only has one miut, he's going to be ma'ayit the lesser of the two chidushim. What's lesser two chidushim? Psula she'en l'shata kosher. Right, something that only ever had a shata kosher, that's the only thing excluded from kibbutz. But that means something that did have shata kosher would require kibbutz. Alright, Mishnah. Nitaz min etzavar la beged. If it came directly out of the neck of the beima onto the beged, ain't ta'un kibbutz. Then it does not require kibbutz. Mina karen, mina yasod, ain't ta'un kibbutz. If it comes off the karen or off the yasod, doesn't require kibbutz. Over here, we reread the Gemara. If you remember earlier in the Masech, the mina karen, umina ra'oi la yasod. Means directly from the karen and something that's ra'oi to go to the yasod. I mean, once it's on the, finished on the yasod, there's nothing to talk about. But here, because the mitzvah has been completed, therefore the blood no longer causes tumah when it touches, or no longer causes the problem when it touches the beged. Nishbachala ritzva, vasfo, ain't ta'un kibbutz. If it fell on the floor, this is directly from the behemah, it fell on the floor, and then was picked up, it's not for kosher for hazayah. And we need something that's kosher or ra'ui lahazayah in order to be problematic for kibbutz. Over here, this is in ra'ui lahazayah, because it's dam pasul now. Ain ta'un kibbutz. Elo dam shenit kabel b'kli, ra'ui lahazayah. It has to have a kabbalah b'kli, and ra'ui lahazayah has to be able to be sprinkled on mizbeach. Tara rabbanan. Yochol nitaz min etzavar la beged ye ta'un kibbutz. I would think that if blood comes directly out of the neck of the animal, that it requires kibbutz. Tamalomar shir yizeh. The pasuk says, "Asher yizeh," that has to be ra'oi lahaza. Lo amar to the chala, but ra'oi lahaza. Tanya idach, yochol nitaz min hakeren u'min hayesod ye ta'un kibbutz. I would think when the blood somehow ricochets off the keren or the yesod, and again ra'oi lahayesod, you would need a kibbutz. Tam lo amar asher yizeh. Prat lezeh shekvar hu zah. That only when you're going to do the hazayah is it problematic. Once the mitzvah has been done, it's not problematic. Nishpach al ritzpah, if it falls on the floor, where it says, Atulamali, what do I need this explanation? Why do you have to tell me ain't ta'un kibbutz? Of course, you're telling me here in the Mishnah, if it falls on the ritzpah, it doesn't need kibbutz. Then you tell me another statement after, which is, dam shenit kabel b'kli, ra'oi lahaza. Well, those are two sides of the same coin. If it falls on the ritzpah, it was not nitzkabel b'kli, and that's why it's pasul. If it's nitzkabel b'kli, that's why it's problematic, because it's kasher. Why do you have to tell me twice the same din? It's just the opposite sides, two sides of the same coin you're telling me over. Atulamali, matam kamar. It's giving you the reasoning. It's not giving you the tukah, it's telling you why is it that when it falls on the ritzpah, that it's not problematic, it doesn't require kibbutz. Nishpach al ritzpah, vasfol, ain't on kibbutz, lufi, she'ain't on kibbutz, el dam shenit kabel b'kli v'roi lazayah. It's not giving you two separate cases, it's rather giving you the logic or the reasoning behind the fact that when it falls on the floor, it doesn't require kibbutz, is because it's not roi lazayah, because this is a type that was not nit kabel b'kli and not roi lazayah, and that's what caused the problem. Alright, so now Gemara says, roi lazayah, if it's roi lazayah, the mute mai. So what's that coming to exclude? The mute kibel pachot mikdei hazayah b'klizeh pachot mikdei hazayah b'klizeh. That comes to exclude a case where you collect it. When he did the kabbalat adam, he did it in two separate kelim. One kli had less than a what was roi v'hazayah, and another kli had less than a roi l'hazayah. Then he's going to mix them together afterwards. Netanya b'chlafta bar shul omer kidesh pachot mikdei hazayah. This is not talking about dam. This is talking about the mechatat. If he was mikadesh the mayim, meaning he has the mayim ayan, and he puts the ashes of the chatat inside of it. If he was mikadesh, pachot mikdei hazayah b'klizeh, pachot mikdei hazayah b'klizeh. In each kli, he was only mikadesh less than that was roi to do hazayot of the paraduma. Lo kidesh, it doesn't work. If you then mix them together, after you did less than a shear in each one, and then you mix them together, that doesn't work. So you buy a little bit, dam mahu. What is the din by dam? That's true by the mechatat. Is this also true by dam? So hilchatahi is the fact that by the paraduma, it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, u'mihilchata lo gamrinan. That din that it requires kedei hazayah is halacha l'moshe misinai. So therefore we say the halacha l'moshe misinai, we don't extrapolate from. But the fact that it is halacha l'moshe misinai means it's a unique halacha that's applicable here and nowhere else. Or maybe the reasoning over there is not halacha l'moshe misinai, but rather dichtiva tabal b'mayim. The requirement is that you dip it into the water. What does it mean tabal b'mayim? It's extraneous to tabal b'mayim. Of course you're dipping into the water to do the hazayot. What does it mean tabal b'mayim? That you have to have in the receptacle receptacle that you're dipping into, it has a vashir tvila, it's a vashir hazaya in it. That's what it's teaching me. Hachanami, also over here, v'taval badam. It also says over here, by the parakoin mashiach, over there, we learned this earlier in the mesechta, v'taval badam. So maybe also over here, we'll require a shi'ur that be nitkabel, a shi'ur of tvila and but no dam be nitkabel in the first sense. Tashma, dam rab zikra marab alazar, ap badam lokidesh. Just like it doesn't work by mechatat, chatzishir, chatzishir, and mixing it, so too by dam. So amarova, tanya, we have a brayta that supports that, and that's early in the Masechta, that's where we learned mem on the bet, that was with the parkoin mashiach. We have the extra words of a taval, badam. What do we learn from that? Taval, velo misapeg. You have to dip your finger into the kli to get the blood, you can't just rub it on the sides to take the blood off. Bidam, badam, achei bidam shiur. That when it means badam, means in the dam, that is a dam of shiur. Tvila mi ikaro. Bashir Tvila Mikaro. That has to be an Adam that had a Shir Tvila from the beginning. It has to have a full Shir in the beginning. Min Adam Shibi Inyan. And that means it has to be from the dam that is found in this category. I mean, that the one that you did the Hazar Rishona from, you have to do all the Hazayot from. That you have to dip your finger. Each time you have to put your finger back in and dip it into the dam. Vitzrich the Michtav Badam. We had this also earlier in the Masech, that you have to write Badam. Dichtav Rachmana Bataval. Had the Torah only told us with Taval. Have a Minachopita Lekashir Tvila Mikaro. I would have thought that all you need to do is dip your finger into the blood. That is now you have enough to dip it in. But not in the beginning. You didn't have to collect the dam in such a way that there was a shear from in the beginning. So therefore, Kadav Rahmana Badam. I would have thought, fine, as long as I have a shear, that's fine. But once I put it in my finger in once, that's fine, and then I can just rub it on the sides, I can take it out that way. So now I have to put it in. I have to dip my finger in. What's that, the mutei mai? What does that come to exclude? That you can't, what's left on your finger, you can't use to sprinkle. You need to do a separate dip for each one. If you do one matnodam with your finger, you can't say, oh, I have extra blood, I'll continue with this finger. No, I have to do a separate dipping each time I want to do hazayah, or every time I want to do a matano, I have to put my finger back in and get new blood. This helps the position of Lazar. Damra Hazayah. Shiraim Shebe Etzba Sulim. Any leftover blood that's on the etzba is pasul. It will help out because Rabbi Lazar says that leftovers on the etzba are pasul. Why are they pasul? Because their hazayah was already done. So therefore they can't be used again and they become dam pasul. So if they're dam pasul, I need a new dipping in order to do the next hazayah, to do the next matana. Girsa here is not too simple. Based on the girsa of the Gemara that we have in front of us, it would read, Amalei Ravin bar Ravado l'Rava. So Ravin is speaking to Rava and he says, Amar Talmidcha Amar Rav Amram. Ravin says to Rava, your Talmid, say it in the name of Rav Amram. Whereas the Gosa of Bach has a slightly different girsa, and over here he has Amalei Ravin bar Rav Ada speaking to Rav Amram. And then he says, Ravin says to Rav Amram, Talmidai, my Talmid, Amar Rav Amram said in your name. Said in the name of Rav Amram. So over there it's Ravin speaking to Rav Amram, saying that one of my Talmidim said in your name, as opposed to the girsa that we have in front of us, which is that Ravin is speaking to Rava and saying, one of your Talmidim said in Rav Amram's name. Tanina, we learned this already in a Tanaic work. Hayamazeh, he was sprinkling. V'nitzah hazah miyado, if and then something sprinkled out of his finger, ad shelo hizah taon kibus. If it's before he did hazayah, then he requires laundering. Mishi hizah, ain't taon kibus. Once he's completed hazayah, he does not require laundering anymore. My love. Hochi kamar. Ad shelo gamar melazot taon kibus. That until he completes all the hazayot, right, then it requires kibus, because you haven't finished the matnot. Mishi gamar lazot. And when he finishes off to do all the hazayot, ain't on kibus. But what would you see from this? You see from here that the blood that was taken out for the first hazayah is still problematic in terms of requiring laundering until you finish all the hazayot. The implications from that are that that blood is ra'u l'hazah. Because only blood that is ra'u l'hazah requires kibus. If it's ra'u l'hazah, that means that the dam that he dipped the first time is not pasul. Not like Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says the dam he dipped the first time is pasul. Well, if it's pasul, it can't make you or require you to do kibus. So the fact that it now requires you to kibbutz until you finish all the hazayot shows you that the blood until you finish all the hazayot is still good. It says, No. You read that. You explained that right or wrong. Actually, yotzta hazam yado taun kibbutz. Before the Hazaya leaves his finger, then it requires laundering. Once it leaves his finger, it no longer requires kibus. That's what it means, Mishi Gamar. Mishi Gamar means not that you finish the entirety of all the Hazayot, it means when you finish this sprinkling. Once it's left your finger, that's it. It's as if it's finished in terms of the Hazaya, and anything then that gets sprinkled by that blood does not require kibus anymore. So it's not the whole completion of all of the Hazayot, it's just the completion of this single Hazaya that will not afterwards will not require kibbutz. If that's the case, that's like Rabbi Lazar, and that's like what we said before. That after you've done hazayah, the blood that remains is pasul, and that's why it's not requiring kibbutz. This is talking about the hazayot of the Parah Adumah, where the Kohen stands on Har Hazaytim, facing towards the Mikdash, and he does the hazayot Adam of the Sheva Hazayot Keneged Petach Chol Moed, he does over there from the Parah Adumah. So it says over there, when he finishes to do all the hazayot, he wipes his hand on the Parah, because over there he wipes his hand on it and then they burn it, because all the Parah Adumah is going to be burnt, and since the blood is left over, you place it on the Parah, and it will be burnt along with the Parah Adumah. So he says, Gamarin, only after you finished all the hazayot does he wipe his hand. Lo gamar lo. But if he didn't finish all the hazayot, he doesn't do this. And this would be a problem for what we just said before. We just said before that dam comes pasul after every hazayah. Over here, the requirement to clean off his hand is only after he completes all the hazayot. From there, it sounds like the blood that was sprinkled the first time is not pasul. It's only once he's completed all the hazayot does the blood become pasul. But no, we answer, samalei, gamar mikanech yado bigufa shel para. No, when he finishes all the hazayot, he wipes his entire hand on the para. Lo gamar mikanech. But if he didn't finish, he has to wipe his finger off because the blood that's on his finger after each hazayah is psula. So bishlama gamar mikaneach yado begufa shel para. All right, I understand now that when he finishes everything, he wipes his hand on the para, because at this point we don't care what happens to his hand. We just want his hand to be cleaned off. He wipes it on the para, and everything's on the para now, and we don't worry that something like dirt or hair came off the para duma and got his fingers, because we don't worry about a hefsek or a chatzitza anymore. Shnemar b'sarafet para enough, because that's all going to be burnt away. El etz ba'o b'may mikaneach. What does he wipe his finger on? If he wipes his finger on the behema, in the interim, he'll get hairs onto his finger, and there'll be a chatzitza for the next hazayah. So we don't want him wiping his finger each time. So Rabbi, the sfat mizrak. You wipe it off on the edge of the receptacle that has the blood, because that's why they're called the kapurei zahav. In Ezra, it calls them kapurei zahav. What's kapara? Means to wipe away, to clean off. So that's why they were called the kapurei zahav. Why are they called? Not because the dam that's sprinkled on them brings kapara, but why are they called the kapurei zahav? Because you wipe your finger on them. That's when you cleaned your finger on their edges. That's why they were called the kapurei zahav. Right, Mishnah. Nitaz ala or ad shelo hushat. It gets sprinkled onto a piece of skin before it was skinned or flayed. Ain't taun kibus, because that's not classified as a baggage yet. Mishu hushat. Once it's been taken off, taun kibus. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda suggests that once it's been flayed, already it's ra'ui lekabel tuma. Since it's ra'ui lekabel tuma, therefore it requires kibus. Even though it's not yet able to be a kabel tuma, you still need a machshava to use it for something in order to make it mimic. But since it could be mekabel tuma with just the machshava, that's enough. Rabbi Lazar Omer, af mishuv shat ein taun kibus. Even after it's been flayed, it still is not required kibus because it's not a beggar. It's not ready. It's not mekabel tuma. It's roi, but not yet mekabel tuma. Af shat ein taun kibus, and I have to repeat those words again. Ein taun kibus ela makom adam. That the requirement for kibus is only in the place where the dam spilled. But davar shurui lekabel tuma. It has to be something that is ra'oi lekabel tuma. Now ra'oi lekabel tuma is going back on the words of Rabbi Yehuda. So this position of the Mishnah, this stam of the Mishnah sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. Ra'oi lekibus. It has to be something that is ra'oi to accept tuma, and also something that's ra'oi for laundering. Echad a beged, vechad a sak, vechad a or, tonim kibus. All of these materials require kibus because they're all bigadim, quote unquote, and they are all things that can be laundered. Vabi kibus v'makom kadosh. The laundering has to be done in a makom kadosh, meaning the azara. Ushvirat kli cheres v'makom kadosh. That breaking of the kli cheres has to be done in makom kadosh. Umrikav shtifa b'kli nechoshet v'makom kadosh. All of these items that are required, that are mentioned by the psukim over here, all of them are required to be done in the azara. Ze chomer b'chatat mikodshei kodoshim. This is the chomer. Oh, by this versus other kodshei kodoshim about the kibus, that the kibus has to be done b'makom kadosh, as opposed to the other kodshei kodoshim that do not have that requirement. So b'nani, mili, how do we know this? Tanu momer beged. Ainly ela beged minan rabot or mishuv shat. I only have a beged. I only know that an or that's been flayed. Tamalomar sheyizeh aleha tichabes. Anything that's sprinkled on it, you got to launder. Or you think I would include even an or before it was flayed? Tamalomer beget. Ma beget haraui lekabel tuma. Afakol haraui lekabel tuma. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's all about being raui lekabel tuma. Beget limits you to that to be something that is raui lekabel tuma. It can't be attached to the animal still. But as long as it's now been taken off the animal, even though it's not yet able to be mekabel tuma, but it's raui. It's just one machshava and it'd be ready to be mekabel tuma. That's enough. Rabbi Lazar Omer beget enli ala beget minayin the rabot sak. So that when it comes on, it's tichabes. Or mishuv shat. I would think to include even an or once it's been flayed. Tamalomer beged. Ma beged davar mekabel tuma. Af kol davar mekabel tuma. Difference between them is that Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's even ra'ui lekabel tuma, and Rabbi Elazar believes no, that it only is in a case where it is actually able to be mekabel tuma, because it's like a beged. The beged is mekabel tuma, so to the or has to be in a position where it'll be mekabel tuma. That means it requires both the maaseh of the flame plus the machshava. Tomorrow's Gemara will continue, but it might be Nayu. What's the nafkamina between them? Well, there's a big Tosus here about the girsa. I read it with the girsa. Even in the end, Tosus seems to agree that this is the girsa here, like Rashi's girsa. But this last word over here, mishuv shat, is that the right word or not? There's a massive Tosus here dealing with that girsa, if you want to take a look at it.